You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Auckland City Council's decision to sell a percentage of their shares in Auckland Airport has placed a fresh spotlight on the council on other council-owned assets. No plans have been announced yet, but a review into Auckland's ports could lead to a potential sale and privatisation of the currently council-owned ports. I spoke to Craig Harrison, the National Secretary of the Maritime Union of New Zealand, about the potential pitfalls of selling the ports of Auckland.
So, Port of Auckland, given it's where it sits in New Zealand, it's the biggest city as we know in New Zealand, with over 1 million people, but it connects, for instance, Whangarei, Auckland, Hamilton and parts of Tauranga to international trade. It's importing and exporting. And the important part of that is, unlike other ports around the world, if we look to Australia, our closest neighbour, we have got a container terminal in the in Sydney's and Melbourne where you have various operators. So you've got a choice to decide which operator you want to use. You don't have that choice in Auckland. You only have one port, a container port. Same in Tauranga and same in Littleton and Wellington. So New Zealand's unique in that way. So an international operator would like to get hold of it because you become a private monopoly. And what the examples we've seen in Australia where ports have been sold or leased out for long term is that after a while the price goes up, and that's like the banks that own the ASB and the Westpac of the world, they repatriate all those profits. So given Auckland, the ratepayers of Auckland want to return, and we understand the mayor's objective there, but we think that port can be productive and profitable. It was profitable prior, it was in the top oceanic performing ports prior to Tony Gibson getting hold of it and that board where they ruined it for that automation. We think that port, given the opportunity, can return to be a profitable proposition for the Auckland and Auckland ratepayers. And also being mindful that such a strategic asset in the supply chain would have sold overseas would have a significant blow-on effect.
Excellent. And you spoke a little there about some of the operational mismanagement, as you called it, that had previously gone on at the ports. Can you explain a little bit about what's changed and what's going on at the ports that will make it a profitable venture for Auckland ratepayers?
So the change is the new management and the board are engaging with the workers in a real constructive way, but in a way that where the workers are, who worked for years, know how to operate a port. It's starting to turn around, and we're starting to see what they call the vessel exchange rates return, and the throughput containers starting to return. So letting the people who've done the job for years do the job without, you know, threats and the optic of what they thought was going to be automation, which was a failure. So just basically doing what we've done for years, and that's work on ships. So, our union has over 150 years worked on ships and worked on ports around the country, so we do know the industry. And our members take pride in the work they do, and they want a good result for Auckland.
Before you touch a little bit on what happened with Australia and the privatisation of some of their ports, can you just elaborate a little bit more on the details of problems that they faced after privatisation of their ports?
Well, there's a couple of things happened. Ports were sold and then unsold for profits by the operator who bought the port, operating lease, or bought that port and then unsold it for a profit. The other thing that happened, we noticed, for instance, if you think about a container, where they had a surcharge starting at $5 Australian, then going up to $145 Australian. So what they do, the operator adds on significant levies onto the freight to go through to generate a profit. So the dilemma is that how do they maintain that profit when you think if they buy it off or lease it off the port, then they offer the port a significant amount of money, the council, a significant amount of money or return per year. The only way they get their return on their profit is to increase the port charges. They won't be able to pass it on to shipping companies. The shipping companies won't accept it. They'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah. And just finally, to wrap it up, I want to ask you, from your perspective, what action you would like to see the Auckland City Council take in relation to the ports? Because right now they haven't announced any plans to sell any of their shares of the ports. But I'm interested to hear a little bit about how you think the future of the ports should go.
Well, I think our ports should be part of a wider strategic port plan for the whole country, with lined up with coastal shipping. If New Zealand wants to meet its objectives in climate change and also resilience in supply chain, there needs to be a wider debate that extends beyond the Port of Auckland, but ensures that our ports and our coastal shipping has played a significant role in the long-term future of New Zealand's economics. And we can't leave it to the whims of debate around a political table. We need a proper, robust plan that should be open to a wide-ranging debate.
That was Craig Harrison, the National Secretary of the Maritime Union of New Zealand, speaking about the potential pitfalls of selling the ports of Auckland.
So it's a very...
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.